The Apostle Paul said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I am of Paul,' or 'I am of Apollos,' or 'I am of Cephas,' or 'I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Such an intriguing passage. So much for us to learn, so much for us to gather, so much for us to digest from this text of God's Word. What I want us to do today is to focus in on what we can learn about the Church of Christ from this text. Our theme for this month is growing stronger than ever, and our faith in the unique nature of the church. And so from these verses, there are a lot of things that we can learn today about the Church of Christ. But when I put that on the screen and when I say Church of Christ this morning, here's what I want you to understand. I'm not going to say this every time I say the Church of Christ, but here's what I want to run through your head every time I say Church of Christ this morning. Is that when we're talking about the Church of Christ, we're talking about the one that we read about in this book. Not talking about some group that puts it on some billboard or puts it on a sign or puts it on some bulletin. We're talking about the one that's described in this book. What do we learn? Here's something we learn. And I want you to let this title is going to grab you perhaps. I want you to just let it settle in for a second. And I want you to absorb it for a moment. I want you to think it through based upon what we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because what we learn about the Church of Christ from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is that the Church of Christ is not a denomination. I just want you to think about that for a minute. That thought may bother some of you. That idea, you may hear that and you say, "Boy, that's controversial. You're going to get yourself in trouble today. That's a controversial topic." You may hear that and say, "Boy, that's awfully narrow-minded. Kind of narrow-minded to make that kind of a statement." Remember what we're talking about. We're talking about the church that we read about in this book. And what we learned from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is that that church is not a denomination. Some of you may hear that, this title, and say, "Well, that I agree with that wholeheartedly." Some of you may hear that title and say, "I disagree with that wholeheartedly." Whether you agree with that statement or whether you disagree with that statement, can I invite you to do something this morning? Can I invite you to take the thoughts that you have about the church, the thoughts that you have about the Church of Christ, the thoughts that you have about denominations, can I ask you if you could just to open up a box and put those thoughts in a box and close the lid for the next few minutes and let us just go back to the Bible. Can we just let the Bible do the teaching this morning? I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because we're just going to park right here in these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, and allow these verses to do the teaching. Allow God's Word to do the teaching. I'm not here this morning to share with you any opinions that I have. They wouldn't amount to anything. They're not worth a single thing. I simply want us to see what does the Bible teach us. And all we're going to see this morning are two things from this text. We're going to see that the Church of Christ is not a denomination because, number one, because of what we know from this text about denominationalism. And then number two, the Church of Christ is not a denomination because of what we know from this text about Christ's church. Can we study this together? Can we let the Bible shed some light on this topic this morning and do more than that? Can we let the Bible do the teaching? Have I given you time to get to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Are you there with me in your Bible, or in your pew Bible, or on your phone that's not going to talk out loud this morning, right, but is just there for you to read along? First thing I want us to see is that the Church of Christ is not a denomination, because of what we know about denominationalism from this text. The word denominationalism begins with the letter D, so I want to share with you some things that start with the letter D that we learn from this text about denominationalism. Number one, from this text, we learn that denominationalism is devised by a human mind and not by the divine mind. How do we know that? Look in verse 11. How do we know that? Verse 11, Paul says, "For it's been declared to me concerning who? You. It's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, that there are contentions among you." Well, what do you mean by that? Look at the first part of verse 12. Paul, what do you mean that you've heard that there are contentions among the church in Corinth? What have you heard? And so Paul says at the beginning of verse 12, "Now this I say," some translations say, "here's what I mean. I mean that each of you is saying." What's going on in the church there? The church is divided. The church is divided based upon what? Based upon what they are saying. Paul is talking to a group of Christians. He's talking to a group of individuals, and they're all saying something different. Read verse 10 very carefully. If they're all saying something different, is that of divine origin? Can't be. It's of human origin. Verse 12, each of you says. Each of you is saying this, each of you is saying this, each of you is saying something different, and each of you is wearing a different name. Is that of divine origin? It's wearing a different name. Does that come from heaven? Or does that come from men? Paul answers that question. Paul doesn't say heaven is saying this. Paul says it's you that are saying this. The division that was coming about there was of human origin, devised by a human mind. I want you to think about that for a minute. The word denomination, think about the word denomination. And at its very basis, at its very core, denomination means a division. That's just what the word involves. That's what the word means. And so that's what Paul sees taking place here, is that here is something that is separating these individuals that has been devised by human minds, and here is a division that has come about among this church that was not pleasing to God. It was not what God wanted to be happening. And so look very carefully at what he says in verse 10. "I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be what?" That there be... In God's eyes, how many divisions would be okay? We're just looking at the verse. And in God's eyes, if you take His church and you start dividing it, and everybody saying different things, and everybody doing different things, and everybody wearing different things, wearing different names, how many of those divisions would be okay with God? The verse says, "Let there be no divisions among you." No divisions doesn't leave room for any divisions. And yet, what had they done? The beginning of verse 13, they had divided. Is Christ divided? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is right there in the question to say, absolutely not. Christ is not divided. Christ didn't divide Christ. You have caused this division. All I'm wanting us to do is say, what do we learn here? What do we learn that Paul is addressing happening in this church? There's something that has been devised by their minds and not by a divine mind. There is a division that is taking place that is not something that is pleasing or recognized by God. And the third thing I want you to see is, as we go through and see these things about just denominationalism in general, that is devised in a mind of man, that is a division that is not recognized by God. But here's what I want you to see in verse 10. Is that this division that has come about is total disregard for the will, for the authority, and for the words of Christ. I want us to look at verse 10 and just take each little phrase in verse 10. Because this statement that's right here on the bottom of your screen right now, that's not popular. What do you mean that denominationalism is disregard for the will and the authority and the words of Christ? What's happening in this church in Corinth is exactly what we're seeing. What does he say in verse 10? First part of the verse. Now I plead with you. Who's talking? Well, we know it's the Apostle Paul who is talking. But is it just Paul's opinion that he's sharing with them? Is it just Paul saying, here's my wishes as a human being for you? Too often individuals have read through other passages, even in 1 Corinthians, and said, oh no, that's just Paul's opinion on the matter. It's later on in this book in chapter 14 and verse 37 where Paul says, hey, if you think you're spiritual, you need to acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are not my words. He says in chapter 14, verse 37, you need to acknowledge the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. So when Paul says, now I plead with you, it is Paul saying, God is pleading with you. In other words, this is the will of God. They were disregarding the will of God. And so Paul is saying, would you please pay attention to the will of God? Paul's not only talking about what's the will of God and making his plea based upon God's will, he's making his plea based upon the authority of Christ. Look at what he says. I plead with you, my brethren, not by my authority as an apostle, not on my authority as who I am in service to Christ. I am pleading with you based upon the authority of the one and only one who has how much? All authority in Matthew 28 and verse 18. I'm pleading with you based upon the authority of Him whose name is above every name. I'm pleading with you based upon the authority of this one who is the head of the church, and that's not me. I'm pleading with you based upon the name of this one whom there is no salvation in any other, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. We can't get to heaven through any other authority other than this one. Paul says, that's who I'm pleading with you. But they were disregarding that, and that's why he's pleading with them by the authority of Christ. He's pleading with them for the doctrine of Christ. What does he say? I plead with you by the authority of Christ that you all speak the same thing. We're going to come back and talk about that phrase again in just a minute. But his plea for them was based upon what Jesus wanted them to be saying. Based upon the words of Jesus Christ, not upon what Paul wanted them to be saying. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, here's what you need to command those in Ephesus to do, to not preach any other doctrine. That's what Paul's telling this church at Corinth. Brethren, don't preach any other doctrine. Hold fast to the doctrine of Christ. And that's the basis of Paul's plea, is the doctrine of Christ. The basis of Paul's plea is founded in the prayer of Jesus back in John chapter 17. What was on Jesus' mind in the hours leading up to His death? What was on Jesus' mind in the moments right before He goes to the garden and He prays there three times and He sweats, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground, and Judas comes and betrays Him with a kiss and He's carried off to a farce of a trial? What's on Jesus' mind in John chapter 17, He prays for us. He prays for His followers. And He says to His Father, I pray that they all may be one. As You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they may be one in Us. The prayer of Jesus was for his followers to be one. And Paul addresses a situation where the followers of Christ were no longer one, that they were dividing themselves. The very basis of denominationalism is division, a dividing of individuals into various groups. What we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is that the church in this book, the church that we read about in the Bible, it's not a denomination. It can't be. This one is not a denomination because it's not what we read in 1 Corinthians 1, because Paul's saying, don't be that. And he's pleading with them to come back to God's original plan. What was that original plan? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 teaches us that church is not a denomination because of what we learn about denominationalism here. But what do we learn about the church here? What do we learn about Christ's church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? The word church starts with the letter C. So let's talk about some things that begin with the letter C. What do we learn about the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? We learn that the church commenced with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Look down in verse 13. Is Christ divided? And then he asked this other rhetorical question. Was Paul crucified for you? What does that have to do with anything? It has everything to do with everything. Was Paul crucified for you? In other words, did Paul start this? Was Paul put on the cross? Was he the one who started the church? Was he the one who brought about everything? No, it wasn't Paul. Well, who was it? It wasn't Paul that started the church by Paul being crucified. It was Jesus who started the church by Jesus being crucified. That is Paul's point. By asking that question, was Paul crucified for you? He's saying it's not about me. It's not about something that I have done. It's all about Christ and what He's done. Therefore, the church belongs to Him. What does Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 tell us about the church? Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul is talking to a group of elders and he's pleading with them to do their task of shepherding the flock of God. And he says he bids these elders to shepherd the flock of God and serving as overseers. But then he makes this statement about the church, about this church that they were to oversee, about this church that they were to shepherd, that it was purchased by the blood of Christ. The church began by Christ. The church was purchased by Christ. It commenced with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, not with some other man. So let me ask this question. If I find a church that commenced in more recent years, if I find a church that commenced in more recent centuries, have I found the church of this book that commenced when Jesus purchased it with His own blood? What is the church of Christ? What is the church of Christ that we read about in this book? Some people might say, well, that church of Christ, they're anti-denominationalism. Well, I don't know that that's the term, but if that's a description, is the church that we read about in this book, it's the church we read about in this book, is it anti-denominationalism? Well, it's not a denomination. Sometimes it'll be said about the Church of Christ, well, it's non-denominational. Non-denominational. And I understand what people mean by that. It's not a denomination. Well, there's other groups that are caring about that term today. There are other groups who are saying that they are non-denominational. I would encourage you to investigate and see what is it that they teach? What is it that they practice? Is it in accord with this book? Is it in accord with this doctrine? Is it in accord with what this church was taught at the beginning? But I wouldn't have you to think necessarily about the church that we read here about being an anti-denominational or non-denominational. But if it commenced with the crucifixion of Jesus, guess what we learn about the church of this book? We learn that it is pre-denominational. What does that mean? It was around a long time before denominations ever came. Can I ask you something? Wouldn't you like to be a part of that church? Wouldn't you like to be a part of the church that Jesus commenced by the purchase of His blood on the cross and that was around before any human being started the first denomination? Wouldn't you like to be a part of that church? Not a church like that church. I don't want to be a part of a church like that church, because being like it might mean it's not like it in some ways. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that church that commenced at the cross of Jesus? You see, that church is not a denomination. It was around before denominations ever came into existence. Another thing we learn about the church that we read about in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse 10, we learn that it is to conform. As denominationalism does not, the church that we read about in this book was designed to conform to the will, to the authority, to the words of Christ. Look in verse 10. You look at those same expressions again, that the plea that God makes to His church, the plea is that you will follow the will of Christ and only the will of Christ. Don't worry about what others may want you to do. No, don't worry about what others may be saying. I plead with you. And what's that plea? That plea is coming from God Himself. And so the church we read about in the Bible seeks only after the will of God. The church that we read about in the Bible submits only to the authority of Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 23 says He is the head of the church. How many heads does the church have? Oh, it's only got one, and that's Christ. And so submission is not to some man who might have started some church. Submission is to the man who has all authority and who started His church. The church that we read about here. And so Paul says, I plead with you by the authority of Christ that you would all speak the same thing. Speak the words of Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man, Peter says, is going to talk about God, is going to talk about Jesus, is going to talk about anything on the realm of religion, it better be coming from the oracles of God. In the end of verse 10, where the plea is that we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, is God saying that the church we read about in this book sticks only to what Jesus wants, sticks only to the decisions that Jesus has made for His church. But I want you to look in verse 10, because some people have looked at verse 10 and they thought, that's just not possible. That's just not possible. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all... Do you see the word all in verse 10? I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all... Not some of them. Not most of them. That you all speak... What? The same thing. Did the Corinthians write back to Paul and say, nice try, wishful thinking, never going to be able to happen... Impossible. Does God call upon us to do things that are impossible? How is it possible for all people to speak the same thing? It's only possible if all people will come back and simply speak what the Bible speaks. And you say, boy, that, yeah, everybody believes that. To speak what the Bible speaks without any addition, without any subtraction, without any modification at all. To take it as it is, without any deletion, without any of my own thoughts imposed on it, without saying, well, I know that's what that verse says, but I feel in my heart. We've gone too far when we say that. It's not about what I feel in my heart. It is about what that verse says. And God says, I want all of you to speak the same thing. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't change it. And don't accept anyone who would come and say something different than what this book says. In that little book of 2 John, John writes to them, and he warns the church there. He warns the brethren that he's writing to about the fact that there would be some who would come and would speak something different from what this book says. And he says, don't you accept them. Don't you bid them Godspeed. If they don't bring, he says, this doctrine, don't accept them. What does that require of us? That requires of us that we be students of this book. That requires of us that we get into this book. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, don't you believe every teacher. Boy, it's hard though, isn't it? Because if somebody stands up and they've got a Bible in their hand and they quote from the Bible, you just say, they know the Bible. They're talking about the Bible. Is it possible for two people to pick up a Bible, to open a Bible, to read a Bible, but to say two different things about the Bible? Is that possible? It happens all the time. Let me give you an illustration. Jesus says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. What did Jesus say? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Did Jesus say that in order to be saved, a person needs to believe and to be baptized? That's what those words say. But yet, how many individuals come to the Bible and teach that a person can be saved before and without being baptized? Two individuals coming to the same book, using the same book to teach about salvation, but one will say that what Jesus said, you need to believe and be baptized in order to be saved, and someone else will say, no, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Two individuals, same book, two different messages. And Paul says, we need to all speak the same thing. And the only way we speak the same thing is that if we do not deviate from the doctrine of Christ. Our responsibility is to get ourselves inside the pages of this book and not to change it one iota. Is that hard? It's hard sometimes. But why are these verses in the Bible? Why is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13 in the Bible? It is not Paul saying, well, some of you are going off and teaching some other things. Well, that's not so bad. You're still teaching about Jesus dying on the cross and being raised the third day. You're still teaching that, so the rest of it will be... It's not him saying the rest of it's going to be okay. It's the Apostle Paul pleading with brethren not to speak anything other than what the Bible speaks, because he says, if you do it, it creates division, and God doesn't want any divisions. What do we learn about the church of this book from this text? It commenced at the crucifixion of Jesus. It is designed by God. This book tells the church that it has been designed to conform to the will and the authority and the words of Christ. We learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the church we read about in this book is designed by God to call itself by the name of Christ. What's interesting in these verses, we won't take time to look at them, but we started in verse 10, right? If you read the first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you read the first 9 verses, you're going to read the name of Christ 9 times. 9 verses in 9 times. He skips one verse, it's twice in one verse, and skips another verse and not there. But 9 times in 9 verses, he uses the name of Christ. And so Paul is completely perplexed when he gets to the verses we're studying this morning. He says, is Christ divided? Christ is the foundation of all that we are and all that we believe. And he proves that in those first 9 verses. And then gets down to this point, talk about how can you wear any other name than the name of Christ? He talks about that grace has come from Christ. He talks about that their fellowship is in Christ. He talks about the blessings that they have, that they are in Christ. The peace that they have is in Christ. That they have been called and sanctified by Christ. That he was an apostle of Christ. Everything was about Christ. And he gets down here and says, you want to wear some other name? There's some of you saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Why would you want to wear some other name? Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the church collectively, as a body of people, the church collectively is that which wears the name of Christ. Why would it want to wear some other name? You see, the name that the church wears, Paul is saying, is not some title that you just put on the top of some piece of paper and say, this is the church of Christ. He says, this is your mark of ownership. The church of Christ means the church belongs to Christ. Paul says, why would you say I am of Paul? Why would you say I am of Cephas? You don't belong to Cephas. The church doesn't belong. Interesting point here. Cephas is Peter. Those who believe that Peter started the church and he's the head of the church, foundation of the church. Paul says, no, sir, no way. The church doesn't belong to Paul, doesn't belong to Apollos, doesn't belong to Peter. The church belongs to Christ and it ought to wear his name. And if that's true of the church collectively, it's true of individual followers of Christ. What name would individual followers of Christ, what name would they wear? Paul says, don't wear my name. Don't you dare wear my name. Don't seek to follow after some man and wear his name. Why would you want to wear anyone else's name other than the name of the man who died on the cross? And that's why he says, was Paul crucified for you? If Paul was crucified for you, go ahead and say it. I am of Paul. He wasn't crucified for you. Are you a part of a church that Paul started? No. Then don't wear Paul's name. Don't wear any other name that takes the attention away from the one who is on the cross. What name should I wear as a follower of Jesus? The disciples were called Christians in Antioch, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16 says, I don't need to be ashamed to wear the name Christian. I don't need to change it. I don't need to spruce it up. I don't need to say, well, I'm this Christian or that Christian. I am a Christian. What does the word Christian mean? It means I belong to Christ. That is the name that is higher than any name. Why would I want to have a different name than to have the opportunity and the privilege to wear the name of Christ? That's what Paul is saying to these Christians. Don't divide it up. Don't create divisions where, you've got this name, you've got... No. We wear the name of Christ collectively. We wear the name of Christ individually. Last point. And that is when Paul talked to these Christians, when Paul talked to this church, he wanted them to understand that the church of Christ clings to the one means of entrance that there is into Christ. If you were to go around to various denominations today and ask them what is necessary in order to become a Christian, in order to wear the name of Christ, do you suppose that you would get one single answer that would match and all denominations would have the same answer? You know that's not the case. Is that confusing? That's what division does. Division is started when all do not speak the same thing. And when all do not speak the same thing, you could ask one simple question: how do I become a Christian? And you could get a multitude of answers. And Paul is saying, how can there be a multitude of answers to that one single question? Paul says, we ought to want to wear the name of Christ. And in order to wear the name of Christ, we've got to do what the Bible says to do in order to wear His name. And you're saying, I don't see that in these verses. You're making something up. Look in verse 13. Is Christ divided? He says, if you want to say I am of Paul, then there are two requirements. Two things are required if you're going to say I am of Paul. It's in verse 13. Number one thing that is going to have to happen for you to say I am of Paul, number one, Paul would have to be crucified for you. Did that happen? No, that didn't happen. But even if that did happen, the second thing that would have to happen in order for you to say, I am of Paul, is to say that you were baptized in the name of Paul. If you're going to go around and say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Paul, I'm of Paul, he says, not so, because Paul was not crucified for you, and you were not baptized in the name of Paul. Two requirements in order to be of Paul. What does that teach us? What does that teach us about being of Christ? Paul has shared with us two requirements in order to be able to say that I am of Christ. In order to be able to say I am a Christian. Two requirements. What are they? Jesus' part. He had to be crucified for me. Has Jesus done His part? But isn't it interesting? What Paul said is the second part. In order to be able to say, I am of Christ, Christ had to be crucified for me, and then I must do my part. What's my part? I must be baptized in the name of Christ. That is what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13 says. That is what that passage affirms, is that I cannot be of Christ. I cannot be a Christian. I cannot wear His name if He was not crucified for me and if I was not baptized in His name. Have you ever been baptized in the name of Christ? That's the only way to get into Christ. It's the only way to get into His church that wears His name. It's the very answer that Peter gave on the day of Pentecost. To repent and let every one of you be baptized. Paul, Peter, why in the world would I be baptized? In the name of Jesus Christ is your authority, in order that you might have the remission of your sins. Have you ever been baptized so that you might obtain the remission of sins? The very thing that Jesus taught in Mark 16, 16, isn't it? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you ever done that? So that you could be saved from your sins. So that you could become a part of the church that we read about in this book. The church of Christ that we read about right here is not a denomination. It's not a denomination because of what this book teaches us about denominations. And it's not a denomination because of what this book teaches us about His church. I know that may be different. I know that may be different than a lot of you have ever heard before. And you may be back to the beginning of what I said at the start. And you say, boy, that's kind of narrow-minded. All we're trying to do is to speak where the Bible speaks. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 leaves no room for human denominations. It only has room for Christ's church. If you have any questions, you have anything you want to ask, you want to sit down and have a Bible study about this, would you just please say something? Just let us know. I would love to sit down and answer any questions that you might have about this lesson today. But if you're not a part of His church, the one we read about in this book, if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you can do that this day. You can even do it right now as together we stand and sing.